Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Tuesday, July 11th. I'm Matt Harmon, joining you fresh off vacation. Vacation, what a scam, right? You go on vacation, you feel so refreshed, and then you get back and, like, you know, your podcast producer's slacking you right away, your manager's slacking you right away, and it's just that wave of anxiety hits you. And like I mentioned on the last show, you heard us, football season just approaching now at a rapid and unforgiving pace. That is exciting. Generally, football season, great. But, you know, again, the post-vacation blues, the post-vacation anxiety, whatever you want to call it, is in full swing over here. But I know just the cure for feeling that way. It's podcasting with the greatest co-host there is, or one of the three greatest co-hosts, one of the four, I'll say four greatest co-hosts there is. It's none other than the one and only Andy Behrens. Andy, what's going on, buddy? How was your July 4th week?
It was great. It was great, actually. We don't handle any of the explosives ourselves anymore. We just let other people do that. We outsource it. Keeps it safer. That's really fun. Can't believe the condo era is over. The podcast glorious condo era. But I welcome this new era in your new home. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yes, if you're watching on YouTube, by the way, if you're just listening to the podcast, I mean, go ahead, keep listening. That's fine. You do whatever floats your boat. You can watch these whole shows on the Yahoo Sports YouTube page. You will see that I am now officially set up in the new house. This is the background. Our podcast producer, Colin's like, have I seen this background before? I'm like, yeah, buddy, it's the one that I was using before in LA, and I just transplanted it here to Virginia Beach. Hopefully, you know, podcast overlord Brett doesn't have any notes on the damn background, but thank you, Andy. It's good to be here. The CondoCast is a great era for the show. But again, it's nice to not be podcasting in an area where other people are aggressively on vacation. Now I'm just looking at the nice neighborhood here, and it's great. So yeah, it's good to be here, Andy. It's good to be podcasting with you. And before we get into it today, do got to give a quick programming note. I'm a liar. That's no other way to say it. While I initially said that we were only doing one podcast a week in July, I'm here to formally apologize and admit that was a complete fabrication. It's not true, apparently. We are going back to two a week starting next week before we hit 5 days a week in August. Andy, the people said, you are not going to cut down my Behrens time. So we had to relent. And now we are back to two podcasts a week starting next week.
Yeah. I mean, we're all about giving the people what they want. You know, we'd probably still be, one podcast a week if you didn't like jump on Slack as soon as you got back from vacation. If you just cut that out of your life, cut out that avenue for podcast overlords giving you information, like, I don't know, you'd be blissfully unaware of it.
Hi, blissfully unaware sounds wonderful. But again, I wasn't grandfathered into the non-Slack era of the company, where apparently if you've worked at Yahoo since, you know, 1987, you don't have to be on Slack. I'm not pointing fingers here at anybody, but if you're listening, I'm pointing fingers at Andy Behrens. So
yeah, if you want to hide any information from me, you should definitely Slack it. I'll never know.
All right. But anyway, so that's the official business. Let's get right into it. We said in June, we did the Flip the Script series. It was awesome. Go back and listen to it. If you haven't already, we were looking at the biggest surprises from last year's fantasy seasons and trying to predict who's going to be the biggest surprises in 2023. Again, they're totally evergreen. If you missed it, if you're just jumping on the podcast because it's post July 4th and this is, you know, the real dawn of football season here, go back and check those out. For the next 2 weeks, though, we're introducing a little new concept, not quite as unique. It's simply countdown to training camp. What we're going to do is we're going to ask the biggest questions we want answered throughout the course of August in training camp, preseason, kind of like a viewer's guide to the preseason. We're going to ask the biggest questions at each position. We're going to start off with quarterbacks here today, Andy. And the beautiful part about this podcast is this is a secret list podcast. Andy and I have each compiled a list here of the biggest questions we want answered for different quarterbacks this year. And we get to do it. How many did you come up with here, Andy, on your secret list?
Oh, that's a good question. We were asked to deliver three. I have three. I have a very clear top three, but I have a long list of honorable mentions, some of which are probably going to be covered by you, and maybe we can just hit some rapid fire at the end of this thing. Like, I don't know. In my view, there's actually a lot of open questions at this position.
I absolutely agree with you. I also had some backup answers just in case you took any of my three. So let's get started. What is the first big question you want answered about a quarterback this year?
Yeah, and this is definitely one that I don't know that we get an answer to. In fact, I'm sure that we don't get an answer to it in camp. But it is whether or not Anthony Richardson can consistently feed anyone other than Anthony Richardson in that offense, right? Like, that is, can he keep other Colts? Can he keep other players on that team fantasy viable throughout the season? I have very little doubt that Anthony Richardson, assuming he stays healthy, can be a top 12-ish fantasy quarterback, right? The rushing upside just sort of makes it so. You and I have discussed this. I discussed it with Frank Schwab last week. Like, if he stays healthy, he's going to run for 900 yards. He's going to run for 1,000 yards, something like that. He's going to finish with like 6, 8, 10 rushing touchdowns. And it's just when you've got that in the bag, your season can only be so poor, right? You're fantasy wise. So I think he has a really high floor fantasy wise. I'm not very worried about him there. But in reality, I think he has an incredibly wide range of outcomes, and it ranges from, you know, at the high end, I won't repeat myself, but people know that I don't necessarily think that he has that like Cam Newton year one upside, but plenty of people do. Richardson himself talks about it, right? So if you think that's his upside, I think you have to also recognize that the potential downside for Richardson is like, it's like 14 passing touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 2,800 yards, and then all the rushing goodies, right? And the rushing goodies are fine, but that won't support a 1,000-yard receiver. That's going to torpedo Jonathan Taylor, who goes in the first half of the first round, right? Like, and we can't have that. We can't have the Colts be an offense that averages like 16.5 points per game, because that's just going to wreck it for everybody else. I think Richardson himself will be fine, but I worry about the other skill players on that team.
Yeah, I had an Anthony Richardson question down here too, and for me it was, because, you know, I think you got to ask this question, is what is the projection for his playing time, right? Which I think we will get a concrete answer on in training camp and in the preseason. Like, basically, is this guy going to start week one? And if not, is he going to start week three? Jim Irsay was on what other program? The Pat McAfee Show just the other day. And he said, as you guys know, Peyton's rookie year, we went 3-13. That's a guy who played a lot of college games and was really prepared as much as he could be for the league. So for Anthony Richardson, it's going to be tough. We know that, but he has to play to get better. I mean, there's no question. Gardner Minshew could come out and play better early on, him just being a veteran, but we have to get Anthony on the field. And that's head coach Shane Steichen's call when he decides to do it. So that means I read that and I say, it's sort of kind of Shane Steichen's call, but I feel like Shane Steichen's going to be on the same page as the owner. And I still maintain the answer to my question is he's going to be playing in week one. So I love you taking it the next step further, which is basically like, okay, he plays week one. What does that look like for these other players on the team? Because I really like this offense. I've said that a lot on the show. I've said that a lot generally, that I think this skill position group is really underrated. We all know Jonathan Taylor at his best can be a top level running back, but I think Pittman's the number one receiver, like a true alpha guy. He's a little bit different than what you'd think based on how his body type is. He can be a combative downfield contested catch receiver, but he's a great separator underneath. I've called him at times like a hybrid of Keenan Allen and Allen Robinson at their respective, you know, peaks of their powers. I think that's obviously pretty good for a number one receiver. I like Alec Pierce as a vertical stretch guy. I like Josh Downs as a slot receiver. They have, you know, Jelani Woods is an intriguing second year tight end. Mo'Ali Cox is not a bad player. Is the offensive line going to bounce back? Like, there's a scenario, Andy, where if Anthony Richardson is up to snuff, like if he's ready to go, like all these guys, I think could end up having really good seasons this year.
Yeah. It's funny when you throw all those names out there. I just can't help but think that, man, I appreciate what they did. I appreciate the bold move for Anthony Richardson, but also fantasy wise, if that team would have just gone out and gotten like Derek Carr, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. All these guys can meet expectations fantasy wise with just, you know, somebody to sort of drive the bus. Who's fine. Who's like a top 20, top 25 ish quarterback. I would have no hesitation, with guys like Pittman, even with Taylor. But Richardson gives me pause because, like, you just think of the other quarterbacks that we've talked about in relation to Richardson. Peyton Manning had absolutely mastered the collegiate level. Cam Newton had literally had the greatest single season in college football history, right? Like, they were absolute masters of college football. And, you know, Richardson has like every trait that you could possibly want. I love everything he says. But he's coming off a season in which they won six games. They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost in like the Las Vegas Bowl or something like that. He didn't play. And like he completed 54% of his, he threw 17 touchdown passes. Like it wasn't great. So he's just developmentally, he's just in a very different place. I also agree that he has to play though. I don't think you give him a redshirt year. That's not the point of, you know, having these guys on rookie contracts. And I think he has to play. I think he has to take some lumps and they have to build an offense that suits him and suits the skill players that they have. I do really worry that we're just not going to see big numbers outside of the rushing stats right away.
You know, there's some, like, even if you fall into the camp, which I do fall into this camp, that he's, you know, and other people have said this, that Anthony Richardson is not raw. He's just inexperienced. I mean, he is inexperienced. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, this is a guy that needs to sort of figure out the position. I also maintain, too, that I don't think, like, maybe Chris Ballard had to get on board with Anthony Richardson at some point. But I think when they hired Shane Steichen, you know, the former Eagles offensive coordinator, to be this team's head coach, and they brought in a quarterbacks coach who has experience working with Cam Newton on the Panther staff, had worked with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals staff, like, these are guys who have gotten mobile quarterbacks, you know, up to a certain level of competency, you know, most recently, obviously, with Jalen Hurts. But again, I think this thing can work in the long term with Anthony Richardson. In fact, I think it is going to work in the long term. I don't know how you feel. I feel pretty confident that it's going to work out because I think the coaching typically, like, I don't think young quarterbacks are like they fail. I think young quarterbacks are failed. There's no better example really than Justin Fields, right? Like for Chicago, that situation that he was thrown into as a rookie was just, had he been somewhere else, maybe we're not talking about a guy who's sacked brutally at, you know, different turns who he doesn't really, they don't, the organization doesn't figure out who he is until halfway through his second season, right? Like there's a scenario where Justin Fields' career plays out differently. So I think the fact that the coaching staff is what it is. I think the fact that the offensive players are what they are. I think this is going to work in the long term with Anthony Richardson. But your point can still be true, and your point can still be a thing that we need to know. Like Jalen Hurts' rookie year, he started four games. He completed 51.9% of his passes. He threw 919 yards and four starts, five touchdowns, three interceptions. He ran for 272 yards in those four starts, 5.9 a clip, three touchdowns. He was good as a fantasy guy, but like, let me tell you what, I'm not jazzed about Michael Pittman as a starting receiver in fantasy. I'm not jazzed about like, and I think there's sleeper appeal with Alec Pierce and I mean, especially Alec Pierce, and I like Josh Downs even better in the long term, but I'm not gonna be interested in those guys if he's doing that as a rookie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's I think you prorate those stats and it's a pretty reasonable expectation for Richardson. I don't know. I hope he shatters it. I hope he's great. I'm all for like more great quarterbacks in the league. And I think he gets there over time because again, it's just such a unique skill set. It's almost an unprecedented skill set. Maybe not quite there. That might be overstating it, but it's great.
Well, I mean from a like relative athletic score perspective, he is the most athletic quarterback to ever, you know, be tested at the NFL scouting combine. Well, for what that's worth, that is a true objective fact.
I can't make myself care a whole lot about a quarterback's vertical exactly.
Fair enough.
I do appreciate it as a measure of athleticism. Obviously he's, you know, he's crazy fast. He has a crazy strong arm. You love every tool. You love every trade. I have no complaints there. And again, I love his confidence. I love everything that I've heard him say. I love that the Cam Newton comparison comes from him a lot of the time. Like, that's cool. He should think that way. So I'm excited to draft him. Like, I don't know. I got my Fishbowl Live draft coming up pretty soon. I'm thinking about him. I'm hoping to take him. I don't know where he falls. Does he fall? Does he go to the second round, third round? I don't know. I'm interested. It's super flex, but there's a huge range of outcomes that can really affect the value of these skill players. And those are the ones I worry about.
We'll move on after this, but last thing on Anthony Richardson, since you brought it up, throw out the Scott Fish Bowl for a second, which is a great league, and hopefully everybody's, you know, dialed into what Scott Fish is doing. I mean, shout out to Scott Fish, one of the greatest human beings in the fantasy industry. Think about like normal people leagues, you know, in late August, like you're drafting with your buddies who have not been paying attention to, you know, fantasy football content from the moment last season ended all the way till now. And certainly are not drafting teams at this point in the particular calendar. Although shout out to all of you who are. Normal leagues, Andy, where's Anthony Richardson getting drafted?
Super late, generally speaking, as a second quarterback, right? I mean, you can go into your season with Anthony Richardson in a one quarterback league as your only quarterback, because there's, you know, replacement value is super high at the spot. It's not a big deal if he's not great right away. But I think he's probably the type of quarterback that you would pair with somebody else, because you're probably just not sure what you're getting early in the year. Probably just not sure what you're getting week one. And it's reasonable. Again, huge range of outcomes for this guy. But I think he should get drafted. And there's not many teams in a 10-team, 12-team, one quarterback league. There's not many squads that I think should be taking a second quarterback. But he's one of the few names that should probably be on a roster.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my Scott Fishbowl league draft right now, and he was just taken at 4.02. So, I mean, he's going to go high in leagues like this, obviously, but I agree with you. That's probably fair for where he's going to go in normal redraft leagues. Come August. All right. I think we had to have an Anthony Richardson question on here for my first one. I also think we have to have a Jordan Love question on here. And mine is just simply, how does Jordan Love look in training camp? What are the reports? Is it the most important thing in the world for how he performs in training camp? No. He could have a great training camp in the summer and have a terrible regular season. He could also have a terrible training camp, and there can be these, you know, reports like Jordan Love throws 5 interceptions in training camp. You know, those, I'm not saying Jordan Love's about to be Patrick Mahomes, but those there, you could go find those old headlines about Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, he could be terrible in training camp and good in the regular season. But nevertheless, I do think it's at least important to see where that drumbeat takes us. And for now, Andy, these guys have been really excited about him in mini camps, at least. Like, the opposing defenders are like, you know, look, this guy looks awesome. Romeo Doubs saying like, yeah, there's no drop off between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. So they're setting the bar quite high. I am at least curious, does the bar stay high? Does it get even higher? Does it come down a little bit when people start watching training camp practices? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, this is now I had this among my honorable mention questions, and the only thing I wrote down for it was, what the hell is Jordan Love, right? Because we don't know. Another case of somebody with a super wide range of outcomes. And the other thing that has to get sorted out here is the receiving hierarchy, right? Like, that's a bit of an unknown. All of a sudden we're given Doubs like a bunch of helium again. Christian Watson is this absolute athletic freak who is still like early in his development as a pro. We both like Reed a whole lot, but they got these young tight ends. Like, we've got a whole receiving hierarchy to figure out around Jordan Love. It's not, if this had been Aaron Rodgers coming into the year, we would just be like, okay, well, Christian Watson is pretty clearly a wide receiver one, or close to it, right? He'd be somewhere in the, I don't know, mid-teens on my board. Now I don't totally know what to do with Christian Watson. I can't go down that Doubs road again. Also, by the way, personally, it's just an absolute nightmare for me if Jordan Love is great. I don't need that. I don't need this team going, I've talked about it before, I don't need them going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love being a 12-year quarterback for that franchise. That would suck.
Yeah, you deserve a break.
Life would not be ideal as a Bears fan under those circumstances. But we just have very little idea what he is. We've got, you know, the initial glimpse that we got of Jordan Love wasn't great, but then last year it was fine. Connected with Watson, that was good to see. I will say that I don't see a path to Jordan Love being like a top 12 fantasy quarterback, and that's what That's what sort of kept this question in the honorable mention pile for me. I don't think this is a guy who's throwing 32 touchdown passes. I don't think this is a guy who's running for 600 yards or anything like that. So the sort of benchmarks that he'd have to hit to really be a factor in our fantasy lives, I don't think he's going to get there. And then again, as a Bears fan, my God, I hope he doesn't get there.
Honestly, for your sake, I kind of hope he doesn't either. But then again, for the purposes of comedy on like this show and FFL, it would be pretty great if Jordan Love is just absolutely shredding out there. You guys are practiced at being miserable at this point. It shouldn't be hard. Like, you're used to it.
Oh man, I've talked myself into Rex Grossman over the years. I've talked myself into Kyle Orton I've talked myself into some terrible quarterbacks, and I've sat there at Soldier Field watching my team lose by buckets of points to Brett Favre. It's been a long, hard road. And I can't have it from Jordan Love.
The reason I wanted to put Love on this list is one, I'm curious. I think he's a big guy, like just a guy to be paying attention to, and any new starting quarterback is worth like reading the headlines about, even if sometimes, like I said, those headlines can be misleading, right? Like how they perform in training camp isn't always necessarily, I think I've heard it said about Mahomes that in practice, he kind of like is the Raptor testing the fences in Jurassic Park, like seeing where the weak points are, like, okay, can I get away with this? Can I get away with that? You know, cause it's practice. I mean, that's the funny thing about this. Like we treat these practice reports like they're, you know, there's something, but they are practice. You know, they're literally just like seeing what works.
What I still remember is how unbothered Patrick Mahomes was when, you know, you'd read those camp reports of like, oh yeah, another 3 interception day for Patrick Mahomes. And he was so unbothered by it. You know, he would talk about it, laugh it off. Reed would kind of laugh it off. And that is almost certainly what he was doing, right? He was trying to get away with stuff in a practice environment that he would surely never attempt in a game. And obviously he was, you know, now here we are like 5 years later or whatever, and Patrick Mahomes has delivered the 2 highest scoring fantasy quarterback seasons in history, right? Not that I'm saying Jordan Love is going to be that guy, but you know, that interceptions in camp don't always tell the story.
No, definitely not. Yeah, I wish I could be that unbothered when people point out my mistakes at times. I wish I could keep that kind of composure. But obviously Mahomes, you know, he knew he's great. So I don't know if Jordan Love is going to be like that, but it is, I do think it's important for some of the fantasy guys here. Like, again, they've got Luke Musgrave is going to moonwalk into the starting tight end job. We typically don't care about rookies in fantasy, like rookie tight ends, but we kind of have to care about them this year because there are guys like your dude Sam Laporta could moonwalk into a starting job right away. And typically, like with a guy like Laporta, and maybe this is the case for like Brock Wright or something, the guys who are on that roster, like there's a blocking tight end that is going to like a veteran guy who knows the system and is a blocker and whatever that keeps him off the field. With Musgrave, that's really not the case. The other guy competing for playing time is another rookie. And people were like, I remember Charles McDonald came on this podcast and was talking about Luke Musgrave and how exciting he is. So I'm like, I'm interested in Musgrave as a sleeper tight end because we've always got to have a few sleeper tight ends to be wrong about. I am interested in like, does Jaden Reed push Romeo Doubs, you know, the practice hero Romeo Doubs, does he push him a little bit? We're still drafting Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. The offense is probably still going to go through them. And then there's Christian Watson, where the early best ball sicko drafts, like people are taking Christian Watson as the 39th overall player. That is very high. We have no idea who Jordan Love is. So even if Jordan Love isn't going to be a standalone fantasy player, I think there are at least some fantasy storylines to pull out of how he performs in the offseason.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. That's an almost scary ADP on Christian Watson, right? Because you can't have those picks fail. You can miss a lot of picks, but man, first, second, third, fourth round, you can't whiff on those given the potential wildly wide range of outcomes for this offense and for this receiving core. That's definitely one where you might, you know, you can still profit probably a little bit, but wow, you can miss in a big way.
Yeah, dude, I think it's sneaky one of the most terrifying early ADPs that's out there right now. not because like think about how late DK Metcalf and obviously, and especially Tyler Lockett, but think about how late those guys went last year when we had a major quarterback transition. And like, we knew DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett were number one receiver, like total ballers. I think Christian Watson's a good player. Like, he's like a Martavis Bryant type of player, but I'm a little less bullet, like Terry McLaurin, right? He always would go in the fourth or something, fifth round, when we knew he was a stud. Like, we knew he was a stone cold baller, and we're not so much sure about the quarterbacks. Watson, the people are completely like leaving that behind. So that's why I think the Jordan Love thing is pretty important. But all right, Andy, give me your second of your three questions you need answered in training camp.
Yeah, we've already hit on it a little bit. And I guess I can pose this in two different ways. One of them is simply how big a leap do we get from Justin Fields? And another way to put it is, like, I know the Bears passing game isn't coming into like the 21st century, right? But can you get me to like the late 1990s? Can you get me, you know, can you get me to 2005? Probably not. Can you get me to the mid 90s? I don't know. Like, they threw the ball 22 times a game last year. We've discussed that before. Like, that can't be the case now. I so badly want to hear practice reports once we get deeper into July and early August. I want to hear days from Bears beat writers where, like, oh man, the ball didn't hit the ground in practice. Like, mm-hmm. I want that. So far, like, all we've heard from like minicamp is it looks really good when he's throwing to DJ Moore. And it looks like last year when when he's looking anywhere else, right? We got to get past that. But then more importantly, the Bears got to be an offense that can throw 30 times a game. That's all I'm asking for, right? Like, we got to get away from these, you know, 1974 passing totals. Like, that's just not modern offense. That is not the offense that keeps you competitive in this era. You can't be a team that throws the ball 20 times a game. Justin Fields literally didn't have a game last year in which he attempted 30 passes. Like, that's wild to me. Still obviously finished as like the QB6 or whatever. It was a great fantasy season. We know what he can do on the ground, but I expect a leap because the receiving core is better, because the offensive line is better, because Fields has additional experience, because Fields has like a limitless work ethic. I really like him. Very easy player to root for. Things have to get better with the offense, like schematically, generally. And we need to see how far that goes. Like, that, I can't do another year where they're throwing the ball 24 times.
Totally. 377 pass attempts on the season. Only team under 400. It's like, everybody's man, Arthur Smith, what a jerk. He's really got to open this thing up. I mean, the Falcons offense is wide open compared to, you know, what the Bears were doing last year.
I mean, they probably threw like 50 more times than the Bears, right? Like 40, 50 more times. Yeah, it's not even close.
And some of that too, there's actually a connective tissue between the Falcons and the Bears there, and that they have employed two quarterbacks that get sacked an awful lot. Like, we don't really give, Marcus Mariota, crazy sack problem. We know about, we've talked about Justin Fields over and over again, but that was a huge problem for Mariota last year. And we forget that, like, if you have a rushing quarterback who also gets sacked a lot, your passing offense, it you're going to be having people asking questions like, is Kyle Pitts good? Is Drake London? You know, that's what we're going to have there. Yeah. So I guess I'm kind of curious, Andy, because I agree with you that I think I do want to know about the DJ Moore Justin Fields connection. Like, I want to read those headlines where, oh yeah, this is looking good. It's looking good. It's looking great. Like, that's great. I do kind of want to hear that, because I think it's important for any new receiver with a new quarterback. Like, I want to read those positive headlines. But I kind of agree with you that that's maybe like the fifth most important thing that we need to hear about the Bears offense, because it should be a given. It would be a red flag if it wasn't a given. So what else are you looking to see and hear and read out of, like, what do you need to see to feel better about this, this Justin Fields, but not necessarily just Justin Fields, but the passing offense in general?
Yeah. Well, I should probably have spent another second on the offensive line, because that was at least part of the problem last year. Like, nobody's totally saying that Justin Fields wasn't responsible for a huge percentage of the 50 plus sacks. But there were plenty. I don't know. Was it a dozen? Was it two dozen that anybody would have taken those sacks that a free rusher was on top of them immediately. And that obviously has to get better. So I would love to hear during camp. I would love to see during the preseason that the Bears have just built a wall around him. I mean, they've clearly committed to that unit. It's not as simple as, oh, we spent some money and we added some names. Yeah. Because like, right, remember how bad, you know, we all felt pretty good about Cincinnati's offensive line going into last year. And it was terrible for the first month of the season. It was no different. Yeah. It was like the same old Bengals, right? Like Joe Mixon couldn't get past the line of scrimmage. They couldn't keep Joe Burrow clean. Like that needs to get right in a hurry. I'm not expecting Justin Fields to fix every problem with regard to recognizing like free rushers. And it's just, it's also clearly going to be part of Justin Fields' DNA, his entire football life, to just try to extend plays forever until he, cause he just kind of goes trophy hunting. And that's fun. Like I'm fine with that to a certain extent. It's what young Ben Roethlisberger did. It's like a lot of good quarterbacks do it. It's fine, but he's going to take some sacks that a lot of quarterbacks would not. So that's always going to be part of his game. They just have to keep him. They have to keep him clean. A healthy Darnell Mooney would be great. I assume we're going to get that. I assume he's going to get back to, you know, the kind of performance that we saw a couple years ago. If we could just go a week or so without reading anything negative about Chase Claypool, that'd be cool. You know, I'm not expecting a bunch of camp sunshine about Chase Claypool, but if we could just, I don't know, give me 10 days without a negative headline, that'd be awesome.
That would be great. That would be awesome. I agree with you that the offensive line is like a point that we should bring up here, and that we should be hearing reports about it gelling a little bit. Like I feel like offensive line has to be the hardest thing to evaluate in a training camp practice. I mean, I've been to a small handful of training camp practices, and I mean, admittedly, you know, I'm more dialed in on the receivers and the quarterback and, you know, the passing game, right? But I do feel like that's probably, I mean, especially because even training camp is not full on always padded practice like it used to be. So that is tough. But I agree that that's got to be one of the biggest X factors for this entire Bears operation, like the whole offense. I don't even know that you need to hear anything about the running backs, honestly. I mean, it would be great to know about the running backs, like who's going to be the starter. But I'm with you that I'm much more curious about the passing game. I'll run through another team here for my second question. Another young quarterback who, you know, a little mistake prone, played behind a bad offensive line last year, but the team did some stuff to beef it up this offseason. And I'll go with, you know, does the Steelers offense under year two of Kenny Pickett look any different? I have made my thoughts and feelings about Matt Canada's route concepts and offense in general well known on this podcast if you've listened to it the last year or so. Not a fan. I will say, watching them towards the end of the season last year, specifically like the routes Deontay Johnson was running towards the end of the year, I'll give Matt Canada some credit that they mixed it up a little bit from the go route, hitch route, exclusive offense. Not so much with George Pickens, still mostly go routes and hitch routes, but they had Deontay working a little bit, breaking outside, you know, some crossers and stuff like that. I'd love to see more of that going throughout the course of next season. So I'm curious, just, you know, I don't really know what Kenny Pickett's ceiling is. I'm not sure that he has a super, super high ceiling, but I do think that this offense could, if it plays like it did towards the end of last year, even when from a statistical perspective, it's not like any of these guys were blowing it out in fantasy. You know, their number one receiver doesn't score a damn touchdown all year. Did get a couple 2-point conversions. Shout out to my guy, Deontay Johnson, on that. You know, George Pickens, like he had his moments last year. You know, Pat Freiermuth definitely had his moments. I kind of think this whole offense could be, when you think about one of the value offenses of 2023, I kind of think the Steelers could be that. So for that reason, like, I don't know that like every Pittsburgh beat writer is going to be on Matt Canada's ass about the route combinations. Like, I don't know that we're going to be getting those reports. Get me to Pittsburgh training camp. I'll keep an eye on the route combinations, you know, but like, I do at least want to hear some good things coming out of Steelers camp. Cause, you know, regardless of my feelings on Kenny Pickett and like what his ceiling is, even if I think he could be like the 19th best quarterback in the NFL, like I think this offense is important to track because it could be the source of quite a bit of fantasy value and maybe even like an NFL real life sleeper team.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is another one that was in my honorable mentions. Man, I have a lot of teams in the honorable mentions here. And it's mostly about the players that not that Deontay Johnson, not that George Pickens are necessarily like too big to fail. Exactly. They're not quite taken where, you know, I would take Michael Pittman. They're not quite taken where, you know, they're not going necessarily 39 overall like Christian Watson, but like it sure would be nice to get some development out of George Pickens. He profiles as that type of receiver where like I love having a guy as like a third receiver on my fantasy team or as a flex who I'm pretty comfortable, you know, like that Will Fuller type. Like the big weeks are just going to be supernova weeks. And I know I'm going to have to deal with some 3-for-30s, no touchdown. But when they go off spectacularly, right? And totally. I think George Pickens can be that guy in a hurry. I don't think necessarily George Pickens is going to, you know, I don't think he's a threat to be like a 100 catch guy. I don't think he's a threat to be like a 1400 yard guy, but I just think he's a clear threat to be a guy who wins you 2 or 3 weeks out of the season, almost single-handedly. And then he's totally quiet, 10 weeks out of the season. I think it's probably his maybe it's even his best possible outcome in the year ahead. But he can't do that unless this offense gets a little more interesting and if Kenny Pickett plays well. And as you say, they're a little bit, I don't know, less predictable. They can't be that again. Deontay's just a really good player. You know, this affects Najee too, whatever you think of Najee Harris. And, you know, there are people who like him more than others. But, you know, as the offense goes, generally the running back goes, right? So if we're taking this guy in the second round, we're taking this guy in the third round. He has no hope of justifying that draft position. If this is a largely inept offense, I don't view Kenny Pickett as, I mean, I think you said it, he's probably going to finish at like QB 18, QB 19, something like that. So it's hard for me to actually say that, you know, Kenny Pickett can be a guy that we're starting in fantasy as anything other than a bye week placeholder or something like that. But he is, you know, he's the essential key to this offense. And there are plenty of guys here that we're drafting relatively high.
I love what you said about George Pickens being that, like, if he's viewed as that, I think like it's perfect, like, perfectly reasonable. I was kind of like, ooh, we're really going to do this, when at different points in best ball summer, it was like people are going to take him over Deontay Johnson. They're going to take him in like the high 30 or like the low 30s, high 20s. That's kind of crazy. But now that he's settled in as like 77th overall player, 40th among wide receivers, I mean, I'm all in on George Pickens at that point, because I don't think he stinks. I just think there are questions in his game and like what his ceiling is. Is he just a boom bust X receiver? He's a guy that, just like last year, he's going to blow away like offseason practices, because he's the type of receiver that's just easy to see what he's good at. With a guy like Deontay, I agree. I said this on Twitter yesterday. We throw around the word elite too much, and I am very, very guilty of throwing around the word elite way too much. And Deontay Johnson is not an elite player. He's a flawed player. He's absolutely way too high on the boneheaded mistake scale. But when we talk about route runners, he is an elite route runner. Like, that is not an over exaggeration. And Pickens can be that guy. And, you know, nobody wants to hear it, but Allen Robinson is a much better fit as the Steelers' big slot receiver than he was as the Rams' X receiver. And that matters a whole lot when we're talking about a guy who's got a diminishing skill set, no longer playing as an X and playing as a slot. And by the way, like, Pat Freiermuth can be one of the answers in fantasy this year, you know, as like as a low end tight end one. I mean, right now, you know, again, like tight end 10, that can be like a big, I think that can be a big win at ADP for him. So I have really not liked the Steelers offense the last 2-3 years at all, but I'm like kind of sitting here talking myself into it a little bit.
To your point on Freiermuth, I think tight end is wide open after Kelsey. I have Mark Andrews ranked number two. Everybody probably has Mark Andrews ranked number two. I've got Kittle up there. Like, I've got the usual suspects up there. But like, we don't know exactly what we're going to get from the Ravens passing game this year. And they made some additions. It's not guaranteed that Mark Andrews is the number one receiver for the Ravens any longer. Kelsey has been so much better for the last like half decade than any other tight end for fantasy purposes. And he's been so like metronomically unreasonably consistent. Every other tight end is just like, you know, somebody's going to finish in the top five because they score 7 touchdowns and have like 750 yards, and a whole lot of people can get there. So like, is there a world in which Freiermuth is the tight end two, is the tight end three? Sure. I think there's a lot of profit potential at his ADP.
Yep, totally agree with basically everything you just said. So on that note of harmony, Anthony, oh my God, I was thinking of Anthony Richardson again. On that note of harmony, Andy, give me your third guy here.
Yeah, but I get confused with Anthony Richardson all the time. You know, from
an athletic standpoint,
I've fantasy
seen,
experts, one of one. Yeah,
that actually is probably true. Not that it's nearly like if you're saying you're the most athletic quarterback of all time. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Like among NFL quarterbacks ever tested, I'm not taking anything away from me here, Andy, Anthony Richardson, Barons, but like. If you're the most athletic fantasy writer of all time, who's testing you?
I don't know. 95th percentile spark score among fantasy experts. Not to brag, but I understand the confusion. So my number one top of my list question is, I have no answers, and I think we'll start to get answers in training camp. My top question is whether the 2020 version of Deshaun Watson is gone forever. Obviously it was pretty painful last year. He's away from the game for over a year for completely understandable reasons. Also, by the way, if you just want to avoid Deshaun Watson in drafts, I completely get it. Top of the personal issues, off-field issues, he was bad last year. I get it. But the flip side is,
and you also have to pay up for him too, right? Like you have to make an aggressive stand on drafting him because he is relative to quarterbacks. He's going like QB9. I think he will go.
Yeah. Like here's the thing. He's going like in that Dak Prescott range, that Aaron Rodgers range. It's not, you know, he's been a top five quarterback three times. He's led the league in passing. He's led the league in yards per attempt. Like the best version of Deshaun Watson was right behind Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the league. He had the look of a guy who was surely going to, you know, we were going to find him in Super Bowls. Surely there was an MVP or two out there. And if he can get back to that level, and he should be able to, right? Like you can understand the reasons for the rust last year and the reasons for the poor performance. The receiving core is better. They bring in Elijah Moore, you know, super promising young player. There's talent there. Cooper, really good receiver. He's not a top of the charts sort of receiver, but that guy's a good pro. So like there's all kinds of talent around him. Probably as much talent as he ever had around him in Houston, I would say. There's a real chance that we get 4,700 yards, 4,800 yards, 30-plus touchdowns out of Deshaun Watson. Like, he's been that guy. Again, plus, we get a little bit of rushing upside here, too. He's not Jalen Hurts, but he's not, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers either, right? Like, we can get 450, 550 rushing yards out of him, 4 or 5 touchdowns. There's a shot here at a huge fantasy season. And like, if he's going at QB9, QB10, well, he's been QB4. Like, he's been QB4 and QB5 in previous years. So this is like, that's the kind of player who helps you win leagues. Like, the guy that you can take, whatever round that means he's going at, like round, I don't know. The top quarterbacks obviously go early these days. But like, if he's going round 9, round 10, that's a huge win if he can get back to where he was.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have made it sound like, oh yeah, QB9, that's really unfair, because now that I'm looking at rankings, it's like, okay, yeah, obviously Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, those guys all should go really high, and they're most likely going to be, you know, week to week difference makers. Then you get to like Herbert and Lawrence. I'd rather have those guys. You know, I think they have potential to really go off this season as passers. And then, yeah, you get to QB9 and, you know, you're looking at Deshaun Watson against Dak Prescott, you know, Daniel, more likely to be this year's Jalen Hurts, Jones than Justin Fields. I messed that up, but you remember from Flip the Script. Gino, I love Gino this season, but you know, Tua, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, like, and then you're talking about, like you said, Aaron Rodgers and Anthony Richardson. Are any of those guys, maybe save Anthony Richardson having a Cam Newton rookie year, like, are any of those guys going to be true top five quarterback, like league winner types at the position? Probably not. Deshaun Watson has a better chance, I think, than those guys to jump into the top five. And yeah, it is always weird to talk about Watson, especially because now it's like, I've said this a lot, that I don't want to make him out to be a sympathetic figure, but he certainly is going to have an easier offseason and easier season this year than he did last year. Again, those are problems of his own making. But regardless, like, I think the offense, beyond the personal stuff and all of that affecting him mentally or whatever, the offense on paper from an objective standpoint is, I'm not just going to say better, Andy. I think it's like has the potential to be leaps and bounds better than what it was last year. Like, we're talking about a lot of guys at, you know, Elijah Moore added here. We're talking about, I think, Kareem Hunt, you know, some addition by subtraction there, and that it's going to be more Nick Chubb instead of like, well, Kareem Hunt's here, we got to put Kareem Hunt on the field. You know, they're going to open the passing game up. You know, Cedric Tillman's an intriguing rookie. David Njoku in his second season on a big contract. I think this, like, Donovan Peoples was the fourth receiver instead of the second receiver. Like, yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
I think the Browns are going to be ready to throw out propaganda about Deshaun Watson during training camp because so many asses are on the line for this to work out. So it's going to be tough, Andy, I think, to sift through fact versus fiction versus propaganda on this one. Yeah, but it is an important one because similarly with the Steelers, like, I think this offense has a chance to really be one of the offenses you have to get right this year in order to suck out some like fantasy value.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's a really good point. And again, the thing that I'll go back to with Watson is that it just wasn't that long ago that you would have said, oh yeah, Deshaun Watson can absolutely finish as the overall QB1. Like, that's, you know, that would have seemed totally reasonable in 2020. It doesn't seem totally reasonable now because we just haven't seen it in a while. But again, we're not talking about somebody who's been a top five fantasy quarterback once. Like, he was doing it every year. He came into the league just absolutely bawling. And I mean, he's been phenomenal in the past. He's been a top five guy in the past. I see no reason why he can't get back there. It looks like a really fun offense on paper. The best version of this offense could be great, and we don't have to pay a lot for him, but we got to pay something, you know? But he's one of those guys that could be a true difference maker at cost.
Yeah. And he was doing it, by the way, back in Houston behind way worse offensive lines with this than this one. Way worse running games. And you know, I don't think Bill O'Brien's a total bozo as an offensive coach, but I think Kevin Stefanski might. Now he's like kind of gone from being one of those golden boys to being a little bit underrated as an offensive play caller. I mean, he will be the first head to roll if this Deshaun Watson thing doesn't work out. He will be the first one to get the blame, but I think it would be kind of unfair blame if it does come down to him. All right, my final of the three questions, and then we can get into some honorable mentions. This one's pretty simple in that, how is this new offense in LA, the LA Chargers, how is it going to look different than the version that we saw the last few years under Joe Lombardi? This was kind of a tough one for me to get my head around in terms of how I want to ask it, but I do think it's just simply like, how is it going to be different? Because number one, it's got to be different in the passing game if this is going to work out. I think that the Chargers are a little bit more fragile than people admit. We talked about that on the Flip the Script episode about who's going to be this year's Rams. But then I don't really believe that they're going to be that team, because I'm also convinced that this offense could like lead the NFL in scoring. Lead the NFL in passing yards if it wanted to. If guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen stay healthy, if Quentin Johnson hits from day one, perhaps most importantly, Kellen Moore is going to open this thing up more than Joe Lombardi did. I think Austin Eckler could catch 80 balls instead of like, you know, being on pace for like 120 at different times. And I think that could actually be okay for his fantasy season, because the offense is just going to score more points and it's going to be more potent. So I'm kind of just curious, from training camp practices, are we going to get like Daniel Popper, the Chargers athletic reporter, is going to be like, yeah, Herbert is pushing this thing in training camp. You know, Mike Williams is catching go balls downfield. Keenan Allen's getting a damn, deep crossing route every now and again. Quentin Johnson is high pointing balls in the red zone. You know, is the offensive line that's sneaky was one of the biggest problems last year, because we focused so much on the receivers and Justin Herbert not pushing it downfield and Justin Herbert's ribs and all that. And the offensive line lost Rashawn Slater like right away last season and maybe is a better version of itself this year. So I am openly conflicted about how good I think the Chargers offense is going to be this year. But again, to paint the positive picture, it's really easy to paint it.
Yeah, I love this one. This is a great call out. And this was a name that another name that I had on the list. We've talked about it before. 6.9 average depth of target for Justin Herbert last year, which was ahead of only Matt Ryan and Daniel Jones. He's just got a massive arm. Right? Like he's got, you know, they may not have like an elite vertical receiver or anything like that, but Herbert just has a massive arm. And 2 years ago, receivers that they would just make up a new guy each week to catch like a field flipping 60 yard bomb, right? You saw it pretty consistently. They just did not give you a lot of field to worry about last year. You know, you were pretty much worried about 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and that was it. And they don't have to be that way. Like this is like those years where Matthew Stafford, weirdly, they decided to, you know, like peak Matthew Stafford, huge throwing arm, where the Lions decided that he was only going to throw it like 6 yards downfield. Like
there's a coaching connective tissue there, by the way, with Joe Lombardi, like, you know.
Yeah, like we just shouldn't be doing that with Justin Herbert. You mentioned the injury last year. I'm sure that was part of it, right? Like the guy was in pain. The guy was playing through some stuff. But it can't be like that again. He can't be, you know, he can't be a six point something A dot guy. Like that's just a waste of arguably his best skill. Perhaps Quentin Johnson can help this too. Like that would be really exciting. He's at least an interesting talent. If he's not a fully NFL ready receiver, we'll see. But yeah, this is a great call out. This is a situation that I'm looking back on it, perhaps I should have had this like number two or number three.
Well, like I said, it was a tough one to word. I think like, what am I looking for? I'm just simply looking to my question is the offense going to look different? And
yeah,
we might, that's one of those, like we said at the top, with your Anthony Richardson one, we're probably not going to, we might not really know that until, like, no, well, none of this stuff we might not know until like week five, week six. We're going to know by week five whether this offense looks different. We're going to know by week five if Anthony Richardson is going to support more than just himself. But it's kind of tough for me to say like what the question is here, but I just want to know if it's going to look different. And I want to see something there. Yeah, there's just no, it's criminal that we're saying the 2022 version of Matt Ryan and Justin Herbert in the same sentence. I do also just because I know people, you know, especially the Tua bros and like other anti-Herbert people will really get on your case if you don't at least give Herbert some of the blame here. I do think he's got some guys, we want them to speed up their internal clock, like a Justin Fields. Hey, let's go. Like, let's not move so slow here. You know, let's get this thing out. But Herbert, I think, almost needs to slow it down. We're like, hey, let that deep route develop before we just get to the correct third read, which is Austin Eckler in the flat. You know, shout out to Austin, of course. We love the Austin Eckler catches, but regardless, like, I think some of that's got to be on Herbert too. And I would love to hear some of that either in interviews with Herbert, you know, stuff like that, or whatever, that he is kind of taking on. Like, I've got to push myself a little bit here.
Yeah. And the you know, the Eckler people may not want to hear any of this either, because there was, you're so right to mention that. I mean, there was a point really late last year, like maybe 3-4 games to go, where if the Chargers had wanted to get Eckler the single season reception record for a running back, like it was right there, you know, his pace was crazy. And that might be a little bit too much work for your running back, you know, when you have a quarterback with an arm of this quality and a quality receiving core as well.
Austin may or may not have said on this very podcast, I don't want to be catching all of those passes. I want the wide receivers to be catching. Every time I'd mention, hey, buddy, you're on pace for, you know, a historic reception season from a running back, he'd be like rolling his eyes like, yeah, I'm trying to have the receivers catching passes, not me. I'm trying to. So but then at the same time, I also remember him saying about how much he liked playing in Joe Lombardi's offense, because guess what? He got the ball a ton. So he is, I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody should ask Austin those questions at some point in the lead up to the season, but we'll leave that one out there. Maybe somebody should do it. We'll see. Andy, all right. Give me like three, you know, rapid fire of your many honorable mentions that you said you had here. I'll give you three, two, but you go ahead.
Yeah. Two of mine were, injury related. And because of that, like, you know, we can't resolve it on a podcast, right? It's just a question of how healthy these guys are going to be. And one of those was, you know, is Brock Purdy going to be good to go in September? Because even if we're not necessarily starting Brock Purdy in fantasy leagues outside of Superflex, that offense was humming.
We care with
him as the starting quarterback. So we care a lot, right? Like, if you're invested in Kittle, you care a lot about whether Brock Purdy is going to be the quarterback of that team. And then Tua, this one's unanswerable. I'm sure he's going to look fine in camp. I'm sure camp is going to go well. Like, we've heard about some of the things that he's done in the offseason to try to prepare to play 16, 17 games. If we get it from Tua, you know, now we're talking about, obviously Tua's best games last year were incredible. The Baltimore game was incredible. And so that's a situation where if we just get a full season out of him, man, does Tyreek sniff 2000 receiving yards? You know, are we talking about a team that has one guy with like 1700 yards, another guy with 1500 yards? Like, that offense could really be special if Tua can stay healthy and makes any more gains at all as a passer. And then the other thing that I had listed, because every chance I can talk about Lamar Jackson, I like to, like, what exactly is that offense going to look like?
Yeah.
And maybe we begin to get some answers during training camp, because it's going to be different. Like, they've built out the receiving core in a way that they never have before. We think that Lamar is no longer going to be a guy who's running the ball 15, 16, 17 times a game. There's a path here for him to finish with 4,000 passing yards and like 800 or 900 rushing yards. That would be a legendary fantasy season, by the way. Where does Baltimore go from here?
Yeah, I wanted to save the Ravens for the receiver one, because I just want to know what that's going to look like. But I'm with you on that. I'm with you on the two injury ones as well, especially with Purdy. Like, that's an easy one that pretty much, like, we should have on the podcast of quarterback questions is, when's Brock Purdy going to play? And are they serious about him? Like, basically just, he is the starting quarterback, no questions asked. I'm curious about that. I'll give you three from my honorable mentions list here real quick. One, this is kind of a receiver one, but I mostly only care about it because I do care about Daniel, more likely to be this year's Jalen Hurts than Justin Fields Jones. And that's like, how does the Giants wide receiver core shake out for him? You know, I do think that matters. Like, you know, I think Isaiah Hodgins is the best candidate for the X receiver position. Darius Slayton got a lot of money. He's one of the two outside receivers, and, you know, the slot receiver, is it just going to be rotation? I'm at least curious about that. Obviously the receiver rotation, because I find Daniel Jones to be a intriguing fantasy quarterback this year. I also like, what's the buzz on Desmond Ridder? You know, I said any first year starting quarterback, he is a guy we saw start four games last year. I would at least, because I'm all in on the Falcons and being different than they were last year, and I'm in on them as a team. I'm in on Drake London a ton. I think Kyle Pitts is going to bounce back. I'd at least like to be seeing some Desmond Ridder propaganda. And my final one is also an injury question as well. Pretty simply, does Jimmy Garoppolo's foot work? Okay. are we seeing Jimmy take some practice reps? Or is this going to develop into the hellacious scenario that was sort of painted out by Mike Florio, the doomsday scenario where he's not even on the roster in week one? And, you know, I got to be watching one of the greatest receivers to ever play in Davante Adams, a guy who's been legendarily good basically for the last five seasons, catch passes from Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah.
Do I need to mentally prepare myself for that? Or does Jimmy Garoppolo's foot work? I'd like for his foot to work personally.
That's such a good one. It's such a key one. I am embarrassed to have not actually written that one down on the list, because I don't know why I've set that issue to the side, but I definitely have mentally. Got to make a mental note not to draft Garoppolo in Fishbowl, because that's
you're
a real
welcome.
Risk. Yeah, it's too bad that like these issues are just apparently going to dog Jimmy his entire career. It's been good, not great, but good enough. He's certainly good enough to feed Davante Adams, you know, 110 receptions for 1,300, 1,400 yards, the usual Davante numbers. But beyond him, I just don't know where it goes for Adams if he's not the guy. So that's a great call.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty simple. I think it's got to be on the list in some form or fashion there. But all right, Andy, that's going to do it. hell of a show, buddy. Good to be back on the pod. Good to be talking to you specifically. We ran through a ton here, and I think we've got more than one a week. We've got a good little thing running up here into training camp with these shows. So I appreciate you joining me, man.
You know who we didn't even mention was like Sam Howell and the Washington situation. There's so much uncertainty at quarterback and in terms of passing offense. There's like, I don't know, there's probably five other situations that I haven't thought of. It's a, I don't know. I'm ready for camps to start and for us to get like some real news tied to real things that are actually happening on practice fields.
I think the people are stunned. You know, I personally didn't bring up Sam Howell because I feel like we talked, and I only included Desmond Ridder in the honorable mention because I feel as if somehow Sam Howell, by the way, for those that were curious, Dad was bringing up Sam Howell on vacation. He was extremely curious about what my thoughts on Sam Howell and everything and how much he is rooting for Sam Howell and about yada, 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 Sam Howell. Oh, he was so offended when I told him about the voice I did on the podcast too. But anyways, I don't talk like that. Anyways, we brought up Sam Howell, the Falcons softened and flipped the script. I chose to avoid them, but I do think Anthony, I almost called you Anthony again. Anthony Richardson Barons. I do think people were pretty surprised you didn't bring up a Baker Mayfield related question. you see how he looked at the Bucks uniform? It's weird. I saw this on Instagram. He looked a little weird. I don't like it.
Yeah, the original version of my top three quarterback questions were all related to Baker, but I talked myself down from that.
Yeah, well, I love that. I love that somehow now we've made you're actually the Anthony Richardson of fantasy analysts and Baker Mayfield. That's your brand now, buddy. I hope you appreciate it. That is my gift to you for being on the show. With me today. But as I said, that's going to do it. Next week, we are going to continue our countdown to camp series by looking at the biggest questions we want answered in August at the running back position next Tuesday. Until then, we're out.